Morning, brethren. Let's go to Romans. Go to the book of Romans. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures there, and you can first go to Romans chapter 3. There's a lot of people that we meet, men and women, and you speak to them, and as we get older, as we begin to feel our bodies age and break down, and we feel the pains and sores and different things, it reminds us just how weak we are. And it sets our minds on our God and our Maker. And we meet many who they can look up at the sky, see the clouds in the sky, and look at the beauty of the sunset and say, I want to be there. I want to be with God. I want to be in heaven. I want to go to heaven and be with the Lord. And they believe that there's a God. They confess that there's a God, and they want to go to that place of rest. They want that. They believe that God is and that there is a heaven, and they want to be with Him in heaven. But they're afraid. They're very afraid. They're afraid of dying, and they have a fear of dying and standing before God in judgment, terrified that they're going to come short of what God requires for them to enter into His glorious kingdom. And if they're afraid, they know there's nothing I can do about it. And so often, as they're confessing these things, they do nothing about it. They just have this vain, empty hope that they'll go to heaven, but they have no idea how they're going to get there because they're troubled. They want peace, but they don't know how to obtain it. And it's a complete mystery to man. It's a mystery to man. Thankfully, the Lord does reveal in His Word, He makes known what that mystery is. What that mystery is, how a man can be justified with the true and living God. Except our justification is not according to what man thinks, because he looks at his works and thinks this is how God determines his worth to enter that kingdom. And the Lord teaches us in His Word that's not at all what the Lord looks to. If we're judged on our works, we all deserve hell. We all deserve the lake of fire and the second death. And one of the reasons why man is so afraid is because they've been told their whole lives that heaven is for good people. Heaven is for good people who do their best. They're trying their best to, in whatever it is, they're just trying to be good, hoping that this is what God is looking for and that God is pleased with this. But the older we get, and the more mortal we feel ourselves to be, and the struggles and the trials that we go through when we feel our infirmities, and the nearer we feel ourselves to death, the more honest we become. And that's why they tremble and fear and quake. The thought of death can make us very honest with ourselves, but because it really does us no good to lie, we know. We can fool ourselves for a while, we can fool others indefinitely, but we cannot fool the true and living God. And the younger we are, the easier it is to feel like I've got an eternity of life, so that I don't even have to worry about this right now, and so we just keep putting it off. But as we near that day, it gets harder and harder to put it out of our mind. The Apostle John said, "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And there's a blessed hope in that, a blessed promise in that, because He knows Christ and He knows all things, even though our heart condemns us. But also we see in that if our heart condemns us, well, God is greater than our heart, and He knows our heart better than we do. He knows all things, and so we're not going to fool the true and living God. And then at the same time as there are those who are afraid, there's people who have no fear and think they're fit, they're set for heaven, And they have no business being so confident because their hope is that, hey, I've straightened up. I live a good life. I tell others how to live a good life. I do my best to do good and live good. And so I'm ready to stand before God. And they have no business of having such a hope. There's a lot that we don't know or understand about ourselves, about just how the depths of our depravity. Even we that know ourselves to be sinners know that we don't even know the half of it. That we offend and do things, we sin and trespass and commit iniquity in ways that we don't even understand fully. And God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Let's see this in Romans 3. Let's start in verse 9. What then, Paul asks, are we better than they? No. In no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And so that addresses one of the things that we do as men. Some people look at others and compare themselves against others to make themselves feel better. Because they say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy over there. At least I try. This guy's just a wreck. His whole life's a mess. And that's not me. And so we compare ourselves to others to make ourselves feel better and condemn others to make ourselves appear better. But again, God knows our hearts and he knows what we are by nature. And every sin deserves a just punishment. Every sin is worthy of death and condemnation. We're all sinners. And none of us should be boasting. What Paul is saying there is, look, in chapter 1 and 2, we've already looked at, not these same chapters, but he's already saying we've covered the Gentiles, we've covered the Jews, and shown that all are sinners. Whether you're without law or you have the law, every one of us is a sinner before the true and living God, who is holy, righteous, and perfect. Look at verse 10 now. Romans 3:10, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So the true and living God, by his word, is telling us, we're all sinners. Every one of us in Adam is a sinner. We've all come short. Their throat, verse 13, is an open sepulcher. That means it's a grave. And we do. We know that there are many times that we speak of dead things. Things that cannot help. Things that do not edify. Things that do not glorify the Lord, but glorify our own flesh, magnify our fears and worries, rather than exalt the sovereign, true, and living God, who has all things in his control. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps, venomous snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we see this, how quick we are to condemn others. When someone doesn't agree with our position, it's so easy for us to condemn them and to justify ourselves. So that we're so quick to just put down others that don't see things the way we see them and don't agree with us. And I see it especially in political things, especially. And it's a constant war. And it's so easy to just say, you don't see it the way I see it. How do you not see this? What's wrong with you? And to dehumanize them and just say evil things about them and condemn them while justifying ourselves. And the Lord shows us in his word, trust him. Trust him. He has everything in control. Everything. There's a vision. If you've ever been a manager, or in, you know, and you're a manager in a business, whether you're the president, an owner, or you're a mid-level manager, or you're a worker, there's visions that you see things, and the higher up you go, the more you see, you know, there's a reason why they made that decision. All we see is, these people are nuts. They don't know what they're doing. But there's a reason why they did that. There might be bills to pay or things, you know, things that they have to meet. And so we condemn others, and we don't even always know what's going on. We don't know how things are going to work out. We think we know, but we don't. And so the Lord is saying to his child, you trust me. You look to me. You believe me. Trust me. I've got everything working for your good. You that love me, everything's working for your good. It's according to his purpose, and he is bringing it to an end. The Lord is purposely bringing things to an end. But trust him. Don't get caught up in that and worry about that. You trust the Lord. So the point of these things, at least what I would like to emphasize here this morning, the point is that the Lord, by his scriptures and by his spirit, is teaching us that we are sinners. Yeah, we are messed up. We do have corrupt ways of thinking about things. We have corrupt ways about handling things, about fixing things. We are sinners, and it's overflowing. It's all about us. It's within us. It's about us. Like Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And that's what the scriptures are showing us. We're all sinners. And it's showing us the abundance of our sin. Was it Jeremiah who said, or Job, that we drink iniquity like water? That's how easy it is for us. That's how common sin and iniquity is in every man, woman, and child. So we're full of sins. We're ruined. Man is a ruined, corrupt sinner. Dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And Romans 3:23 brings us to see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is making us to see we've all sinned and come short of his perfect holiness, of his perfect righteousness. But God has a purpose. There's a blessed, good purpose and making us to know. It's not just to make us feel guilty and to feel bad about ourselves and to go about with our heads hung forever. It's to bring us to hear the Lord. It's to make us to stop boasting in ourselves, to shut our mouths before the law, and to cry out to the Lord. To ask him, Lord, how can a man be just with you? In Galatians 3:22, I'll read it. It says, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. When you read the scriptures, you see, wow, even David, a man after God's own heart, is a sinner. The man was a murderer and an adulterer. He put a just man, a man who had no business putting to death, he put him to death just to cover his own sin. And we see the sins of all the patriarchs. We see their weaknesses and failings. We see prophets failing and being removed from the ministry. We see all kinds of sins and difficulties, and we see that man is a sinner, that man is full of sin. But there's a purpose. And the second half of that verse of Galatians 3:22 is that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's that we would hear the promise, that we would seek God for that promise of life, of righteousness, by faith. Not by our works under the law. Not by condemning others and boasting about what we've done and lying about what we've done. But that we would seek that righteousness, which is not by the law, according to my works, but according to faith. Faith. That's what the Lord is. That's the blessed promise. That in Christ, he's provided full righteousness, full satisfaction for his child. There's a promise to them that believe, because our good works do not save us. This is a faithful saying, Paul said to Timothy, and it's worthy of all acceptation. Everyone should hear this and agree with it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not that Paul is the chief, but that me, who agrees that this is why Christ came, to save sinners, even me, the chief of sinners. I'm the worst one, because who knows my heart better than you but me, myself? I mean, God knows it better than me, but each one of us knows our own heart, and we know the thoughts we think. We know the condemnation we have of others and the judgment we condemn others with, and that we ourselves are guilty of the exact same thing. We all stumble. We all fall. We've all done wickedly and thought evil in our hearts. And who of us can stand before God boasting of our goodness? And so the Lord is making us to see that this is why Christ came into the world. A lot of people think that they're good people, that they're doing their best to do good and to do the right thing, but that's not what pleases God. That isn't what propitiates God. That isn't what satisfies his wrath against us. He's provided the satisfaction fully, freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ didn't come into the world to save good people who are doing their best. Christ came into the world, sent of the Father, gave his life to save sinners. To save sinners. Those who are made to know my good works are not cutting it. And they're not going to cut it. And I don't want to stand before God in my righteousness. He's provided the righteousness fully, freely in his blessed Son. And God does that. He makes us to see the preciousness of Christ that he's made precious to us who believe, who have no righteousness of their own. That's not what God's looking for. It's for you to puff up your mind and to psych yourself up that this is going to happen, that God's going to receive me. He's not looking for you to psych yourself up. He's teaching you. He's showing his child, we're the sinner, and I'm the chief of sinner. And each one says, I'm the chief of sinner, because I know my heart. And if God could save me, he could save you, brethren. And so we're made to see the Lord is precious. Not my works, his work, his obedience. And so he saves sinners. If you know someone who wants to go to heaven, do they know that they are a sinner? Someone who says, I want to be there. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. They say something like that. Do they know that they're a sinner? They want peace with God, and they will hear God, and they cry out, Lord, what must I do to be justified with you? It's probably because they know, when they're honest with themselves, it's because I'm a rebellious sinner. I've offended holy God. I've come short of your righteousness. I've done this sin and that sin, and I do these things, and it's because they've been made to know their own sin, their own heart, their own wickedness. And so they feel that condemnation and they begin to seek, Lord, what? How can I find forgiveness? How can I be just with God? I want peace with God. If they're busy justifying themselves and talking about the good they've done and blaming God for this problem or for that thing, then they've not heard. They've not heard what the Lord is saying when it says we're all sinners. The scriptures have concluded it. They've made it plain and clear to every one of us that we're all sinners. If that's how they talk, that they're good and they're doing their best and that's their hope, then they don't believe God. They haven't heard what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The scriptures say it this way in Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23, that the wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned by our works. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Justifying ourselves before God and boasting of our righteousness, that's not how we are justified by God. That's not salvation. Christ came for sinners, and he is made the confession of the hope of the believer. He's made our righteousness unto us. He is all our hope. He's the one that we look to. He's all our hope. Turn over to Romans 10. Romans 10, and let's pick up in verse 6. And here's that phrase. but the righteousness which is of faith. It speaks on this wise. See, there's another kind of righteousness, not of your works, not of my works. There's a righteousness of faith that the Lord speaks of. And it speaks in this manner. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. In other words, let's stop our boasting. Let's stop talking about what we've done and what you've done, and this guy did that, and he should have done this, and I do it this way. Let's stop talking about us. We're not hearing what the Lord's saying there. What saith it? What does the righteousness of faith say? Well, it's that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so the confession of the believer, they don't talk about their goodness and how consistently good they are and how they're teaching others to be good. They talk about, I'm the sinner, but Christ gave his life for me, a sinner. He shed his blood to atone for my sins, to put them away, to obtain for me forgiveness with God. So that God doesn't look at me in my works. He looks at me in Christ. He looks to his Son. And he's delighted in his Son. He's well pleased with his Son and all who are in him. All who come to the Father in Christ, God is well pleased with them. He's satisfied. He meets with his child in Christ and blesses his child fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees hated Christ because sinners, people worse than them in their eyes, who they despised and saw them as filthy, vile, wretched sinners, they entered the kingdom before the Pharisees in all their goodness and all their self-righteousness. Sinners, weak, poor, worthless in the eyes of man, sinners, entered that kingdom, believing the Lord, having that righteousness which is by faith, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord speaks of faith, which he's wrought for his children. And the Spirit is poured out upon God's child and turns their hearts away from themselves and looking inward to behold the servant of God, to behold him who obtained their redemption and their forgiveness and gives them life. To you that look to Christ, the Lord gives great consolation and hope, great comfort. Peace, rest for your souls. Look at Romans 5. Go back to Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5, 8. It says, God commendeth his love toward us. How rarely do you hear that? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his Son when none of us were keeping the law. None of us were obeying the law of God perfectly and keeping that law. We despised it. We were enemies of God. We did our own thing. We did our own way. We went our own way, the way of unrighteousness. And that's when the Lord sent his Son to put it away. It's God's love that draws the sinner for whom Christ died to Christ. He brings us to Christ. It says in John 6, 44 and 45, I'll read it. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You want to go to heaven? You want to have peace with God? You come in Christ. And he says, I will raise you up at the last day. You'll have a glorious resurrection day in me. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When it says that Christ died for us back in Romans 5:8, that us is well defined in Scripture. There's no mystery of who that us is for whom Christ loved and died for. These people, they are drawn to Christ. Who are the us? They're the ones who are drawn to Christ. Who are the us? They're taught of the Father to see that Christ is all. They come to Christ, looking to him, believing his righteousness. They believeth in Christ. Who's the us? They confess Christ is all my righteousness. You don't hear them. When you ask them, what's your hope? They don't start saying, well, I'm pretty good. I go to church regularly. I read my Bible regularly. I'm a good person. I do my best to please God. That's not the confession of the believer. It's Christ is all my righteousness. I love him who loved me. I need him. Lord, receive me in Christ's righteousness. Don't look to my works. Look to him. As you say in your word, I shall never be ashamed to come to the Lord looking to Christ, believing him, resting in him. They're said to love him. For example, I'll quote 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, he manifests his mercy and grace in his child so that they do love him. They hunger and thirst for his righteousness. They come to him crying, Lord, save me. Help me, Lord. Deliver me of my blindness, my spiritual blindness and deadness and coldness and lukewarmness and just the filth that I am in his flesh. Lord, save me and receive me in Christ. Bless me in Christ for Christ's sake. That's the confession of the child of God. They confess Christ. Their whole confession is, he's my righteousness. He's my hope. How do I know if I'm saved? Who's your confession? Is it your goodness or Christ's? Is it his righteousness or your own? And from talking to my brethren here, their confession is Christ. He's my righteousness. I don't have anything to boast in. I have nothing to glory in of myself. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You won't stand before God and him say, what were you thinking, trusting all your hope, putting it all in Christ? What were you thinking? You won't ever be ashamed believing in Christ. That's the one thing that God receives is Christ, his Son, and all who come to him in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not our good works that justify us. It's not because we're good and trying to be good. That's flesh. That's all flesh, and those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But the faith and confession of Christ is what the Lord gives in his people. He reveals that. He manifests faith in his child. That's a manifestation, a revelation of his grace and mercy for that sinner. Because we know there's no mystery because they love Christ. They come to him confessing him. And that's not of the flesh. I mean, yes, there are people that can fool God and fool themselves. I mean, they can fool others, but they know. Either you hope in Christ or you hope in your works. And you that hope in Christ, rest in him, believe him, trust him, follow him, continue to come in Christ, believing him, because that's why the Father sent him. And he brings forth that confession. You know it, because what your heart, your mouth is going to speak what's in your heart. If you start talking about your good works, that's what your heart believes. But if you speak of Christ, how that God raised him from the dead, declaring my justification of my sins, it's because that's what's in your heart. And if that's what's in your heart, it's because the Spirit put that in your heart. Otherwise, man just hopes in his works and just has a wing in the prayer that he's going to be saved. But you that hope in Christ, it's a firm, it's a good hope. It's a good consolation because we have nothing. And it's a walk of faith. That's why we still see our sin and why we do tremble at times. But the Lord keeps showing us it's not you. It's Christ. It's my Son. And that's why he brings his people back to hear his word, to be comforted and to be grounded and settled again and again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we do drift, don't we? We drift and we think and we start looking at ourselves and looking at our works. But the Lord says, settle down. I've provided everything for you, my son. Thank you, Lord. He brings that confession, that hope from his child. Look at just a couple more and then we'll wrap it up. Romans 5:1. Here it is confirmed again. Therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He manifests faith in his child to comfort them, to show them, to reveal to them, to give them that knowledge of what Christ has done for them. Look at Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, I'm not boasting of my good works. I'm going to tell you of what Christ did for me. That's my hope. That's the confidence I have. And I've committed everything to him in Christ. It's all in him. So you that want rest for your souls, you that look up and say, Lord, I just want that peace with you. I want to be with you forever. Lord, I know you are God. I know there is no other God but you. You that want peace, come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Righteousness is in Christ alone. And he reveals that to his child by faith. By faith. That's who the one whom we confess and believe that God has raised him from the dead, meaning I shall be raised in him too, and have a good, wonderful resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.